Diego Virawal here, back at it again with the Radioactive Podcast. Radioactive Youth Media is this super cool workshop for Seattle teens to learn the ins and outs of radio journalism. And in case you didn't know, I'm a part of it. Today I'm here not only to share our last feature story, but I'm here to share a story that I made. And my friend and fellow Radioactivian, Aliyah Massaliar, will be helping me share this story with you all. Hey, dude.
Oh, hi.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, too. It's good to hear from you. Do you want to tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, well, I've been kind of working behind the scenes, helping out with these podcasts, and I even worked on my own a couple weeks ago. It was published, and it's pretty cool and rad, and people should check it out. But
do you want to tell them which one it was?
I don't remember the exact title, but it's about me and my mom cooking, but...
Wow, someone's prepared.
Yeah, no promo, no self-promo.
Well, if you just scroll back twice,
if you just scroll back twice, it's there. And today, I'll share with all of you a story about Diego's grandmother, who found love in an unlikely time and place, a Chilean prison cell.
You'll hear more about that after the break.
I'm Tan Tan, host of Second Wave, a new podcast from KUOW. My parents escaped Vietnam in 1978. They're boat people. And I've always wondered what that was like.
We're definitely in Vietnam. We're just going with it. It's not like there's any life jackets.
On the next episode, I'm going back to where it all started, Vietnam. Go to KUOW.org/podcast to learn more.
Hey, we're back with Aliyah.
Diego, I haven't seen you in forever.
I know, but I think I'm kind of good because I listen to your voice for like 3 hours every week on the phone. Yeah, we talk on the phone hours every week.
Oh, true. I listen to you on like the podcast all the time and you do a good job.
Oh, I was like being snarky and now you're being really nice.
Yeah, because I come in with the wholesome comments. We juxtapose each other nicely. And you know what's even more wholesome? Like getting bubble tea together, which we also haven't done in a long time.
No, I haven't. I got bubble tea the other day. But like, other than that, like I miss getting bubble tea at,
okay,
what was that place?
Wow,
Oasis?
Diego.
Promo Oasis.
No, I don't think we're allowed to do that. But bubble tea is like the definition of wholesome because of the aesthetic pastel colors. And it's just all sweet and nice.
Yeah, the best. I mean, I haven't had too much time to go get bubble tea, and I guess we haven't together either. But I still go to cafes a lot and stuff like that, especially with my grandma. We try to go for coffee after school.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I know. I love it. She always tells me stories and stuff like that.
Oh, wait, like the story we'll hear today, right?
Yeah, just like that one.
Beatriz Alvarez, Diego's grandmother, was in Chile in 1973 when Chile's Marxist president, Salvador Allende, was overthrown in a violent coup. Out of the ashes of this devastating war, Beatriz still managed to find something beautiful, in a time when so many families were losing so much.
In 1973, my grandmother was attending university in Chile on her way to becoming a history teacher. She and her family were avid supporters of Salvador Allende. My grandma's brother Alfonso was even a part of a large political movement that supported him. Then on the morning of September 11th, my grandmother was listening to the radio as Allende addressed the people of Chile. A few hours later, Allende was dead. Allende's family later confirmed he committed suicide rather than give himself up, but many Chileans don't accept that. like my grandmother.
They say he killed himself, but it wasn't true. They killed him.
The military began to arrest people who weren't loyal to the new government. A family friend of theirs was arrested and tortured. Then they came for my grandma's brother, Alfonso. The police surrounded the whole neighborhood to get to him.
He wasn't not even home. He went out with a girlfriend, but they made a really good show to get him, like he was so dangerous.
They arrested Alfonso, but my grandmother didn't know where they took him. And because of the coup, she had to drop out of university. So she spent the next week searching for her brother. Eventually, she found him. He was put into jail about 30 minutes away from her home. Every day for a year, my grandmother would ride her green lowrider bike to bring her brother lunch and keep him company. Then one day, he got a new cellmate. He was a political prisoner too. His name was Miguel. Miguel and Alfonso became quick friends. And my grandma liked him too. She thought he was well-spoken and handsome.
After the way he was talking for a few months, it got more interesting.
There were always family members visiting the jail. So before long, she also met Miguel's mother.
But I think at that time we already started going together, when I met the mother.
What do you mean by going together?
I mean, just be together in the same, when I go and visit my brother, he coming over, we sit there and talk and all those things. It wasn't all about my brother anymore. It was about Miguel too.
She even had her first kiss in the jail.
In front of everybody. That was embarrassing. My parents, everybody sees you.
Oh, your parents were there?
My father, they all would go and visit my brother.
My grandmother would bring Miguel candy, and Miguel began to write little notes on the wrappers. And whenever leaves would fall into his cell, he would write little notes on them too. And eventually, the leaves and miscellaneous wrappers couldn't hold enough space to express their feelings. So my grandma started hiding a small notebook in the basket of food she would bring, and they would secretly trade it back and forth every day.
Do you want to start with the date?
This is October 11, 1974. Hacía tiempo que no sentía ganas de llorar.
For the longest time, I didn't feel the need to cry. But today, I have to hold back the tears so they don't fall down my face. I can feel the heaviness of the jail on my shoulders because I can't hold you in my arms.
Al no poder estrecharte, entre mis brazos.
I remember your smile,
recuerdo
your face,
tu risa,
your voice.
Cara, tu voz, Miguel.
I flip through these notebooks now, and within them sit dried and crumbling leaves marked with faded pen. Flowers and folded up wrappers left forgotten between the pages. And there are three more notebooks just like this.
Do you want to read what you wrote back?
No.
No?
October 12, 1974. ¿Cuántas lágrimas dura de al... ¿Cuántas
How many tears I cried today? I can't recall. But who cares about that? Because I love you, and that makes me strong. Nothing will never be as magnificent as you. Como tú.
My grandma continued to visit and write to Miguel until about a year later, Miguel called my grandma up and said they were letting him go. So she went down to the jail and walked him home. A few months later, in her hometown of San Felipe, they got married. Her whole family was there. Even her brother came from jail with an armed escort. Everything that my grandma cared for was in Chile, but it wasn't safe for the man she loved. They applied for refugee status, and a few months later, left everything behind for a new life in Seattle.
My parents went to take me to the airport. All my brother and sister, they all went with me. Was sad. I was the first one to leave the country. And then was hard. But that was the only way.
My grandma and Miguel were living together in Seattle for almost 20 years and had a house of their own. They raised two kids, my tía and my dad. So that means Miguel was my grandfather. But things didn't work out for them. Eventually, they got divorced. And years later, my grandpa Miguel passed away. Now, my grandma lives near me in Edmonds, Washington. Her parents and brothers and sisters are scattered around the world. She never became a history teacher like she wanted, but she works as a program assistant at a local community college, and she's married again to my grandpa Julian, who was good friends with my grandpa Miguel. Are you guys happy?
Yeah, at least I am. I don't know him.
Yes, I am happy. I enjoyed, you know.
They've been together almost 25 years now. So, I mean, he is my grandpa, and he's always taking care of me, just like he promised my grandpa Miguel.
I never told you this. The last day before he died, he called and I talked to him. And he told me, you know, can you please take care of Diego? I said, of course.
My grandma sacrificed so much for love. She lost her family, her country, and her dreams of being a teacher to be with the man she loved. That love ended. But it didn't have to last forever for it to mean something. And there's always a chance to find it again. For Radioactive, I'm Diego Villaruel.
Diego, I love your story. And just listening back on it, I just remember all of the heavy emotions that go into it. Not only like how your grandma and your grandfather interacted between the prison cells, but just how your grandmother was willing to sacrifice so much to still be happy.
Thank you.
I know you're used to asking all the questions, but today we're going to turn the table. Do you mind if I ask you a few questions?
Yeah, of course. I don't mind.
Okay. I first wanted to ask, what was your reaction when you first heard the story from your grandmother?
Yeah, I mean, I think when I first heard the story, I was really surprised and kind of just like curious, obviously, because I think I realized when she first told me the story, I think about a year ago, that I had never really thought of my grandmother as, like, living really anywhere else other than here. You know, you just don't remember that people have, like, lives before you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
And so I just remember thinking, like, whoa, like, she had this whole other life in a different country before she even came to America. And so I think that was a big thing for me that made me like really interested in wanting to learn about my grandma's history after she first told me the story about how she met my grandfather and the whole, like, I hadn't heard at all about the political conflict that had happened in Chile and like how the president was overthrown.
Yeah. Did you learn anything surprising when you were chatting?
Yeah, I think it was all pretty surprising. I think one of my favorite things that I learned was that she had her first kiss in the prison, which is one of my favorite parts of the story. And just that she had to, you know, like that her life hasn't been super easy. You know, like my grandma's lost a lot of stuff and like her family, she had to leave behind. She was the first one to leave. And I think that just made me like realize how strong she was and how she just really kept going like for her family. Like she came here to America and struggled to work and support for her family and even like got remarried after she got divorced from my grandfather. You know, I just think it's really powerful that she did all that.
Oh, so what do you want the audience to leave with after hearing your story?
Something that's really like important to me that I realized while hearing the story that I'd like the audience to realize is that it kind of shows that no matter like how many bad things happen, like if you just keep pushing and keep working hard because you know it's the right thing to do, or just keep holding on even though it feels like there's nothing left, that there will always be something else around the corner, even if it's not what you expected.
You said you learned a lot from your grandmother going through that time, like devastating time. Have you like applied that in your own life?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've really had the chance to yet, which is definitely a good thing. But I think you can also apply some of those things in your daily life too, is that like, if something isn't going the way you want it to go, or if something doesn't happen how you think it's going to happen, you know, like there's always something that you can look forward to, you know, or you can always kind of just have some like hope that it's not all going to be bad always.
Is there anyone you'd like to thank for helping you tell the story?
Yeah, of course. I really want to thank, like, huge shout out to my mentor, Anne Kane, and my editor, Jenny Asarno. They were so amazing during the process, and I loved learning how to, going through all the edits and all that stuff, and Anne helped me so much while writing the story. And of course, I want to thank my grandma for really sitting down and letting me, like, telling me the truth about this story and letting me learn so much about our family, even though I know it must have been hard for her to share.
Well, thank you for having this wholesome, enlightening chat. I really love your story, and I'm excited for you to share it with tons of people and for tons of people to hear it.
Yeah, thank you so much for interviewing me.
Bye.
Have a good day. I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Now it's time for me to say goodbye to you guys. I want to thank you all for tuning in every week and supporting me and the Radioactive team. Before I go, though, I have some questions for you. How do you find solace in the most stressful of times? Have you ever fallen in love under any weird circumstances? Let me know on Facebook at Radioactive Youth Media or on Twitter and Instagram at KUW Radioactive. I'd love to hear what you've got to say. And either way, please go and review the podcast on iTunes. I really appreciate seeing all the feedback and ratings from you guys on the new episodes. Also, if you haven't heard the other episodes in this series, please go back and listen to them all because they're all amazing and deserve your ears. I want to give a huge shout out to Aliyah Masaliar for interviewing me this week and helping me out behind the scenes. And also a special thanks to our editor, Mary Heise, and Brian Freeland for editing this podcast. And until next time, Diego Viruel here, signing off.